WTAW now takes you to the Hilton and College Station for this evening's local candidate forum, and here is Chase Murphy.
News Talk 1620 and streamed live on WTAW.com and KVTX.com. Tonight's forum, again, broadcast live here on WTAW and streamed live on the internet, KVTX.com and WTAW.com. Over the course of the next couple of hours, we will hear from candidates for the contested races for the Bryan and College Station School Board, as well as the City of College Station Council candidates. Now, as for tonight's, the ground rules for tonight, each candidate will have the ability to make a 1.5 minute opening statement, so a minute 30 seconds for opening statements. They will have 1 minute to answer questions from the floor unless notified otherwise by either myself or the other moderator. Tonight, Scott DeLucia, who will be moderating the city council portion of this event. And to each of the candidates, just a reminder, you will each have 1 minute to make a closing statement as well. So 1.5 minute to open, 1 minute to respond, and then 1 minute to close. And the time allowance to respond could change based on the questions. If we get a bunch coming in, we may shorten the response time. But your opening time will definitely be 1.5 minutes. Your closing time will definitely be 1 minute. There is a timekeeper that will allow you to notice exactly how much time you have. I think you've probably all taken note of the display right down here. And we will let you know if you run out of time, but we will make every effort to allow you to finish your thought. At this time, we do want to turn the evening over to the first of all, I want to remind those listening that you can still email questions to Dina@bcschamber.org. Also, if you have questions for the school board candidates, there for those of us here in the audience, there are yellow cards at the back. If you would write that question out, please note at the top you can circle whether it's for the school board or city council, and then just wave that card around and we'll swing by and get it and give you the opportunity to submit your questions. At this time, though, we do want to turn the program over briefly to Chamber Board Chairman Tap Bentz of Outback Steakhouse for some opening comments and the introduction of the candidates. Tap.
Thank you, Chase. On behalf of the Board of Directors and the staff of the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce, I would like to welcome the candidates and the audience to tonight's local candidate forum featuring the candidates for the Bryan and College Station School Board. Chase Murphy and Scott DeLucia of WTAW will be serving as tonight's moderators, and we would like to thank them for their participation, as well as WTAW and KBTX.com for broadcasting this live on air and on their website. At this time, I would like to go ahead and introduce the candidates for the school board races. First, for the Bryan ISD at-large seats, our first candidate is Roy L. Flores. Mr. Flores is the owner-manager of Flores Finance Company and also BCSvideo.com. He is a graduate of Bryan High School, Blinn College, and DeVry Institute. He has lived in Bryan for 50 years. He and his wife, Stacy, have 3 children, Leah, Sarah, and Angela. I would also like to introduce David Stasny. He is an attorney at the law office of C. David Stasny. He has lived in Bryan for 53 years. He is a graduate of SFA High School, Texas A&M University, and the University of Texas Law School. He has lived in Bryan for 53 years. He and his wife, Mary, have 3 adult children, Sarah, John, Rachel, and George. The College Station candidates for place 6 are James Y. Lancaster. He is the CEO and Venture Investment Fund Founder Manager of Echolice and Research Valley Funds. He and his wife Paula have lived in College Station for 3.5 years, along with their children, Sabrina, Natalie, and Justin. He is a graduate. He has a BBA in Business Analysis and Research from Texas A&M University and an MBA Information Systems Management from the University of Texas at Austin. Kimberly K. McAdams. She is self-employed as an engineering consultant and corporate trainer. She has lived in College Station for 3.5 years. She has a BS in Mechanical Engineering from the University of Texas, an MS in Engineering Management from the University of Missouri, Rolla. She is married to Dr. Daniel McAdams, and their children are Claire and Graham, and they have lived in College Station for 3.5 years. Place 7 is Richard L. Howe III. Richard is a CPA at Allen Academy, and he has a BBA in accounting from Texas A&M University. His wife, Carol, and he have lived in College Station for almost 6 years. His opponent is Valerie A. Yokin. She is the petroleum engineer at Schlumberger. She has a BS in petroleum engineering from Texas A&M, an MS in petroleum engineering from Texas A&M, and a PhD in petroleum engineering from Texas A&M. Her husband, John, and their children, Karis, Paige, who's a niece, and Vincent, have lived in College Station for 21 years.
Thank you, Tap. That's the candidates for our both Bryan and College Station ISD Boards of Trustees candidates for the contested races. And we remind those listening either online or on the radio tonight that we do have both Bryan and College Station candidates. And we may have some district-specific questions, but we're going to try to stick to some broad-based questions just to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to answer those questions. We will begin now with opening statements. We would remind each of the candidates you have a minute and a half to make these opening statements, and we'll just start here on the end, and Mr. Roy Flores.
Hi, I'm Roy Flores, and I'm new to this, so this is my first time running for office. I'm a local business owner, like he told you, and I have my wife, Stacy, Sarah, and Angela here, and my other daughter's working tonight. And I'm running for school board simply because there are some items that haven't been talked about. And there are some concerns that parents do have, not only parents, but teachers, police officers, local taxpayers, and they want to start hearing the board talk about some of these issues. Issues like not having adequate study skills for kids that are graduating and going off to college. Issues like not being able to spell, not being able to write. And if you talk to some of the professors at Blinn or at Texas A&M, they'll tell you this. We've been told that our kids are being prepared to be in a global work environment. But yet, state of Texas is ranked somewhere around 50th in education. So if our kids can't even compete on a national level, how are they going to compete on a global level? Thank you very much.
For Bryan ISD at the at-large position, and now David Stastny.
Well, I'd like to thank the chamber for this opportunity to provide some information to the voters about local government races. We have many successes in our district. We've got an exemplary early high school, Hammond Oliver, which is our unique high school for career in medicine or health care. Some very successful middle school academies, national award-winning elementary schools, and many others. I've been a host reading mentor for 19 years, and I'm currently working to try to help fix the very broken school finance system as a member of the Texas Association of School Boards Legislative Advisory Council. And I'm hoping to continue to use my knowledge and experience to continue our quest in Bryan to become the best school district in Texas. For trustees as well as our students, education is a continuous process. I've attended hundreds of presentations over the years in search of best practices from experts in other districts to make Bryan schools even more efficient and successful. I've used my knowledge of the very complex school finance system to advocate at the state level, as I mentioned before, because Bryan is at a significant competitive disadvantage in relation to neighboring districts. I've never had a personal agenda or an axe to grind. I'm very thankful for all Bryan schools have done for my family, and I would like to do what I can to ensure that every child in Bryan can have a safe, challenging, and successful educational experience.
It's David Stastny, the incumbent at-large candidate for the Bryan Board of Trustees. Now moving on to College Station, we begin with the Place 6 candidates and James Lancaster.
Good evening. My name is James Lancaster. As they mentioned earlier, I've lived here about 3.5 years, moved here from Dallas because I wanted to raise my kids in a great place to live and be educated. I also came here to found the Research Valley Innovation Center. My job was to create jobs, mentor executives, and help create companies out of Texas A&M. Running for the school board brings those two things together. Fact is, I'm highly concerned with the budget issues at the state level that we're going to put at risk some of the great education system that I moved here for. And I'm also very concerned about our teachers that might be put at risk and with the budget issues that are facing us. Realistically, we need to get creative, innovative, and all work together as a community to help support the school system. The school system The school system is not a one-end educational point. The community is the community is what drives education. The school system is the mechanism. Realistically, we can't send our kids to school with the assumption they will get educated when they come home. Parents are required. Involved community people are required to support our schools and help make sure that our kids are educated completely and holistically by everyone. We just cannot send them to the school, so we cannot complain about state funding. We need to get creative and make sure that the school system is supported by the community to educate our children best. Thank you.
It's James Lancaster, the candidate for Place 6 on the College Station ISD Board of Trustees. Kimberly McAdams is also a candidate.
Good evening, everybody. I'm running for school board really because I truly believe in public education, and I believe that it gives opportunity for every individual to be successful, but I also believe that it's critical for the strength of our community. And just like my opponent says, I'm here as well because we have great schools in College Station. I think we see the benefits of that in our community. We see a vibrant community that's growing where people want to live and feel safe. So we got to keep those schools strong even in these tough budget situations. This has always been important to me. My family, both my parents were on school board where I grew up, and my father-in-law. Education is important to us, public education. And I think my background, what I do for a living, I go out to companies and I help them be more efficient in their operations, help them use their funds wisely. And I certainly think in this trying budget times, that's going to be helpful. It's going to be something we need. And I think I balance that also, because I do work part-time, I balance that with being a mom. I have the opportunity to be involved in my community, be involved with my kids' education, and get to know their teachers and their schools. I'm on a PTO board. I'm on my homeowners association board and volunteer in the schools. So I think I would be a good fit to keep our school board in the direction it needs to go and keep all our kids well educated in College Station.
It's Kimberly McAdams, the Place 6, second of two Place 6 candidates for the College Station ISD Board of Trustees. Moving now to the Place 7 candidates and the opening statement of Valerie Yokin.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to visit with you all, and I appreciate the chamber arranging this. My name is Valerie Yokin. As was mentioned earlier, I've lived in this community for over 21 years. Within that time frame, I've been active with the College Station School District for about 18, whether it would be on the PTO or on some of the district-wide committees where we planned for growth, which is something that's obviously a big thing in College Station, as we're one of the fastest growing school districts in the state of Texas. And I'm currently serving in District 7 as the incumbent. What I think is important is education, as the four people speaking before me, and how we go about that in a time when we're worried about money is obviously going to be a concern, and there's lots of different opinions on how best to prioritize the spending of money, but I think the thing we really have to keep focused on is providing education for all students, and that's what I think the current board and College Station is focused on, and that's what I'd like an opportunity to continue serving on that board so that we can ensure that all students within College Station have a good education.
It's Valerie Yokin, the Place 7 candidate for the College Station ISD Board of Trustees, and her opponent is Richard Howe III. Mr. Howe.
Thank you. I want to thank the chamber. Again, yes, my name is Richard Howe. I am running on school board with an interest in making an impact in the community through service, and I married into a family of educators, so, you know, I went to school here at Texas A&M, and I've lived in the city of College Station for about 6 years. I do find the growth quite impressive, and we have to manage our growth and continue with a good school system. I think we need to be good stewards of what we have and plan for financial responsible growth. And so I thank you for the opportunity to meet you guys tonight and discuss the issues look forward to being able to serve in Bryan College Station on the College Station School Board in Place 7. Thank you.
It's Richard Howe III, candidate for College Station ISD Board of Trustees. For the sake of time, and because we will get into some deeper issues in just a moment, I actually want to start with just a 30-second response. So we're going to throw just a bit of a curveball. And I would like to just go down the board, and Mr. Stastny, we're going to start with you since we started with Mr. Flores before, and just ask you, what was the tipping point at which you said, I'm getting involved? I'm running for school board. What happened? What was the one thing that tipped you to that decision, Mr. Stastny?
Well, that occurred 21 years ago, so
I understand
it's a little different. But I guess you could say, why am I staying in there? I don't think we've ever had a greater need for dealing with having some experience and knowledge to deal with a crisis that we're faced with right now. The funding issue is just unbelievable right now, and of course we've got a lot of other issues to go along with that, but that's probably the number one reason. And of course we're also getting ready to hire a new superintendent. So,
all right, Mr. Lancaster.
Oh, I think the tipping point actually came from my children. Two conversations with my son and my daughter. My son had broken his finger and gone to the hospital, and the staff asked my wife what she did, and she said, I'm a homemaker. And Justin said, no, you work in the schools. No, I don't work in the schools. I volunteer in the schools. You don't get paid? Well, Daddy gets paid. Well, reality, my son decided that, you know, that what she did was not as valued as highly as what I did. And I think that's wrong. I think we need to contribute in the schools.
Thank you, Mr. Lancaster. Ms. McAdams.
Well, kind of odd situation, but honestly, I met the current school board member, Charlotte Slack, a few years ago when I got involved with my Home Nurse Association board, and just made the comment that my parents have been on school board, and I think it's a great way to serve our community and be involved in our community and help our children. And it so happens that this fall, when she unfortunately decided to leave the community and have to step off the board, she gave me a call and encouraged me to run. And I think it is a great time to do it. It's an important time to have a good, strong school board.
All right, thank you. Valerie Yokin.
As was mentioned earlier, I have three children, and my son is 23. He graduated from CONSOL in 2006, and during the time he lived at home, as I mentioned, I spent a lot of time on district-wide committees, whether it be on the planning for growth or the zoning or redistricting. And when he came home for Christmas, when Mr. Aldridge decided not to rerun 3 years ago, when he saw the newspaper, there was an opening, my son said, that's what you need to do, Mom, and that's why I ran.
All right. The question again is, what was the tipping point that made you, that motivated you to run, Richard Howe?
I wouldn't say that there's been any one tipping point, but as I've lived here in Bryan College Station, I've seen the growth, and I want to just get involved and serve.
All right, thank you. Before we continue, and now we're going to go to 60-second responses. I'm sorry, Mr. Flores. See, I told you this would happen. So, Mr. Flores, please go ahead.
Well, my first when I first talked, that was why I wanted to be on the board. I've got 6 years as Planning and Zoning Commissioner here in Bryan, 3 years on the Community Development Block Grant. So I'm familiar with working with staff, and it also gave me a good chance to look 20 years down the road, 25 and 30 years down the road to make improvements happen. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's Roy Flores. What we're going to do, and what I was going to say, is that just for the sake of comparison, we will alternate Mr. Flores and Mr. Stastny, and let you guys answer consecutively, since you are the two lone Bryan candidates, and then we'll just move down the line with College Station. So just in the interest of comparison there. Let's move on now. 60-second response time, and Mr. Lancaster, you will start. School funding is obviously the big issue that every district in the state of Texas is facing. What are your ideas on what the school district needs to do to, first of all, cope with the funding situation?
Well, first of all, I think we need to make sure we can understand as best as possible how long this funding gap is going to occur. We need to make sure if the funding gap is going to be a 3 to 5 year problem, which historically it's been a challenge for the state to fix problems like this in a year or two, we need to make sure that we've budgeted accordingly for the full 5 year time period. But again, going back on what I said earlier, education is not a school problem, it's a community problem. And if the state is not holding up their end of the bargain to help us fund what they promised back in 2006 when they structured the current financial system, and what they committed in the modern school financial system back in 1949, and what they started in 1929. If they're not holding up to that end of the bargain, we as a community need to figure out how to support as best we can the needs of our kids. Through PTOs, through the Education Foundation, or any other means, parental contributions, volunteers, we need to step in at this time of crisis and make sure we're meeting the needs of the kids, because that's what's most important.
Question to you, Mrs. McAdams. How do you cope with the loss of funding? What are your ideas?
Well, honestly, I think the district so far has had a good approach. I mean, can't really fault much that they've done. First of all, they've been fiscally conservative, and we have a good savings account, basically, that's going to help make the next couple of years at least bearable. But they've also been proactive in coming up with ways to reduce funds and to be more efficient. And I honestly, with my background, really feel like that is a place where I can help continue those efforts. We really have to just look carefully at where we're spending our money and where that money is actually going towards our main goal of educating all of our kids. And there's always places to be more efficient. You learn that when you do this for a living. And so I think we will continue to look critically at it. And I guess the last piece is the other thing that's really important is this problem is really coming from the state. It's coming from Austin, and we need to keep communicating that, and we got to fix it there as well so we can cope here.
Kimberly McAdams, we appreciate that. And moving on to place seven, the question, Valerie Yocum, we'll start with you. Your ideas to deal with the gap in state funding.
I think that what the board is doing right now is they've gone back and evaluated where are the places that we can cut in the coming year. We've going back and making decisions based on, as Ms. McAdams pointed out, what's going to offer a good education. There are things that provide the whole education for our student body, but we have to identify which things within the money that's being spent actually are going to help ensure that our students can read and write and go out into the workplace. I think that the board has been fiscally responsible in having a savings account. We've gone back with our growth, identified ways that we can ensure that all of the current employees will have a job going forward, and with the focus on education.
It's Valerie Yocum, and same question to you, Richard Howe. Your ideas to deal with the gap in state funding.
I think I'll put it concisely, and I'll kind of echo what Ms. McAdams said. I think what we need to do is look critically at the money we're spending and try to determine whether we're getting the value for what we pay for. We have to get value out of the dollars we spend, and we have to get more competitive as a nation and as a city of educators. You know, we've got to get invested, and that's going to start in the home. It's going to have to start. You know, the parents are involved, and they're going to have to stay involved. But we're going to have to look critically at, you know, squeezing the value out of every dollar that we spend.
The question now, we move to the candidates for the Bryan Board of Trustees, and Mr. Flores, it's your turn to go first. Is your ideas to deal with the very large gap in state funding?
Well, first of all, I don't think we should be sacrificing our teachers. If you look at other districts our size, they have an internal auditor that answers only to the school board. Why we don't have one, I don't know. But the superintendent has been calling the shots mostly, and it's a management issue. And yes, we have gotten a new superintendent, but that's not the answer. The answer is the board needs to look at those cuts and with the help of an auditor to investigate these things and keep the superintendent in line. That's our job. We're supposed to answer to you. The superintendent already has a staff that supports him, and you pay for it. So what we need to do is be looking for cuts across the board, not just on our teachers.
Troy Flores, Mr. Stasny, your ideas to close the gap in state funding.
Well, the problem does certainly start with the state, and as I've mentioned before, I'm on the Texas Association of School Boards Legislative Advisory Council. I'm one of four trustees that was elected statewide to try to to influence the legislature. There's also, though, not just the overall funding, but the equity issue, as I mentioned earlier. That means, what that means is that not every child in Texas is funded the same way, and that's in violation of what's already in the Texas Education Code. But unfortunately, the state is not in compliance with that. There's a lot of misinformation out there about how much central office cost is, how much sports cost, so forth. Unfortunately, a lot of people believe that without checking into it. Unless we're going to stop paying utilities or feeding our kids or busing them or having custodians, nurses, and counselors, we're going to have these other expenses that have to go into providing a good education for our kids. We have done a lot of things to try to reduce cost in Bryan, and we certainly are putting teachers as our number one priority to hang on to them. So, thank you.
Stastny, in his comments, the question again, there are ideas to prevent or to help close the gap in state funding. Moving on and talking about, again, the financing issue, and Mrs. McAdams, you're first up to answer this time. Certainly from the College Station candidates, we heard kind of this idea of being creative. And so I would like to get your ideas, but this is for all six. Your creative ideas to raise money. The money's just not there. What do you do?
Well, you know, I'll be real honest. I think we should be open-minded and look at ways to get money to fund education locally. I mean, I think the Education Foundation is a wonderful organization. The PTOs are great ways to raise money, and there certainly are opportunities to be more involved with local businesses and partner with them. But I'll be real honest. I believe that that is not the main goal of a school district. The main goal is to educate our kids, and I want to make sure that we keep that as the focus. In a business environment, you know, when a company, we ask them to focus on what are their core competencies, what do they do well, and make sure they continue to focus there and do well, and not get distracted with fundraising. I wouldn't want my superintendent's main job to be fundraising. I want it to be educating kids. So again, I'll be open-minded, but I also think we need to fix the problem in Austin.
30 seconds just to follow up on that. In the interest of clarity, though, I understand that the superintendent's job is not to raise funds, but how can you educate if you don't have money?
Again, back to Austin, doing a good job of communicating with our legislators, which hopefully I would ask everybody in this room to write or call, you know, Senator Ogden and Representative Brown and tell them that education is a priority. It's the state's responsibility to fund it. And so they need to do that. Number two, still keep being efficient with the funds we have. I mean, because, again, we can continue to find ways to save money. And then, yes, be open-minded to some creative ideas to, work with businesses, work with the university.
All right. Thank you. Same question to you, Mrs. Yokin. The ideas, any creative ideas that you have to raise money for the school district?
I think Ms. McAdams said it well. The responsibility for fixing the budget situation is obviously in Austin and within this room, asking each one of us to be certain that we are communicating with those in Austin, that we expect them to help us pay for the education of our children, that we do think that that's important. There is a lot of money that goes through a school district that is not necessarily under the control of the administration, and that's throughout the PTO. And I think we may have to get to a point within our community that we have a little bit more pointed distribution of how we use that money, because the community does provide that, and it is for education, but we've allowed each one of the schools to use that money on their own campus the way they see fit. And I think perhaps we're going to have to work with the administration a little bit more closely to ensure that it provides education and maybe not some of the frills it's been in the past.
Thank you, Valerie Yokin. We move now to Richard Howe. And Mr. Howe, your ideas, specifically ancillary ideas for the district to raise funds.
Well, I don't have a laundry list of long creative ideas, but I will point to one that I've read about that was interesting. You know, we got to think about revenue. If there's budget shortfalls, raising revenue, you know, advertising on school buses, it definitely small amount of money, but it brought in some money. So we got to think about revenue side in addition to squeezing costs. So I'm coming real new and clean to the issues, don't have a big long list, but I'm open-minded. So I say this in this room with business community and parents, this is probably the place to foster forums and have the creativity and ideas to really get some issues that make an impact.
Richard Howe. Brian, gentlemen, we'll come back to you in just a moment. We want to finish up with the College Station folks since we have one remaining. Mr. Lancaster, your ideas for the district to raise funds.
Well, I agree with what Valerie said about the PTOs. PTOs control about $500,000 worth of funds in the district. It's not my job to tell them what to spend it on, but generally they spend it on a lot of the type of things we as parents would want because they're parents and teachers in that room. But the PTO budget locally or fundraised is $500,000. 1 cent increase in tax is $570,000 in College Station. So if we were to increase the PTO funding by 1.5 times, then we've actually cut out or added a 0.5 cent tax without actually going to a tax. Education Foundation, I think, is underserved and underutilized here in the area. I've recommended an iPhone recycling program because an iPhone is equivalent to an iTouch, which the teachers are clamoring. They gave 12 Education Foundation grants about a week ago, and if we were to collect 5 used iPhones, we would be able to fund the 13th Education Foundation grant. In addition, we as parents have donated money and funds for a needed computer in the classroom in my son's class. I think we can do a lot more getting creative.
All right, that's James Lancaster. We now move to the Bryan candidates, and Mr. Stastny, the question is to you: ideas to help make up for that, for the district to raise money.
Well, we created an education foundation, and Bryan also during my tenure on the board, we've done the partnerships as much as we can with A&M and Blinn and the business community. We have the partnership we have on the early exemplary early college high school is a deal with Blinn where basically it's not costing our students anything and it's not costing the district anything to have that partnership with Blinn, and they're getting 60 hours of college credit by the time they graduate from that high school. We aggressively pursue grant money. The Milam Elementary, which was in the news recently, is winning a national award to the part of the TAP program, is again funded by grant money, and we have no choice but to again pursue that aggressively. We've certainly had no choice either, I feel, to raise our tax rate a few years ago, but the fact of the matter is the state's given us less and less control over the ability to control our own revenue, and again, the state ultimately is going to have to fix that problem.
Same question to you, Mr. Flores, your specific ideas to raise funds for the district.
Well, first of all, we need a partnership with the community. With A&M and Blinn is great, but we have to partnership with the community. When I was PTA president at Fannin back in 2005, we got together and wrote a nice letter to the school board, told them we needed playground equipment. And we stopped doing fundraisers because our kids were having a hard time with the tax testing, and we wanted them to focus on tax testing, not go out and fundraise, because they already fundraise for their church, they fundraise for their scouts, they fundraise for their softball and soccer. So we decided that we wanted our kids to focus on getting their schooling done. And we finally got a playground equipment from the board, and that's something that the community needs to be getting active in, telling us what they want.
Troy Flores, we now want to kind of divide things up just a little bit, talk about some specific Bryan issues, some specific College Station issues. So, and Mrs. Yokin, you'll answer first on this question. So we'll go through the College Station candidates first, and then we'll come back with a specific question for the Bryan School District candidates. Let's talk first of all about education, the education in the classroom compared to the funding issues. Again, the education has to take place, yet if the funding is not there, what are the challenges that you see, and how do you specifically intend to address the challenge of educating College Station students and maintaining the level of quality that people have come to expect? Mrs. Yokin.
So the cliche is we're going to have to do more with less, and we're going to have to go back and utilize the technology that we have and see if we cannot put in place a system so that our master teachers have contact with more students than they do today. So that we, because if you go back and you look at the amount of money that is in our budget, 72% of the money that we spend is on salaries for teachers. And that's what we have to control. Is the number of students increase, we're not going to be able to increase the teachers at the same rate. So we're going to have to get those that have the ability to handle more students so that we can maintain that same level of education.
Right. Richard Howe, the same question to you, how to do, as Mrs. Yocum said, do more with less. I mean, how do you maintain the level of quality that people expect?
I think Mrs. Yocum put it very well that, if you're, the amount of funds you have are limited and enrollment's growing, it sounds like student to teacher ratio might have to increase. You don't want to lose teachers. You don't want to demoralize them. You want to keep them motivated because their heart is invested in those children's well-being. And it's really long-term. It's very important for the teachers that those kids do well. It's very important for the community. So I don't have any disagreement with Ms. Yocum on, hey, maybe student to teacher ratio needs to kind of slide higher.
All right, Richard Howe. Moving on to the Place 6 candidates, James Lancaster, the quality of education you mentioned, that was the reason, one of the reasons that motivated you to move to College Station. How do you continue to maintain that in the coming years?
Well, I think it's important to point out that quality teaching occurs from the personal engagement and interactions with a child and a teacher one-on-one. When I've sat in the classroom a few times, they work in various different zones, they work in different projects at one time. I think it's important that we have tools and technology and books and the tools the teacher needs in the classroom so that if a certain set of kids can be in the reading zone, a certain set of kids can be working on a computer, a certain set of kids can be doing something else, an intervention and support may occur for different kids in the same classroom at the same time. There's a certain number of kids in that classroom that needs hands-on intervention at that time. But if you don't have the tools in the classroom, the books, the technology, the computers, the magnet board, stuff like that, if you don't have those tools supporting most of the classroom, that teacher is not available to engage and interact with the child who needs it the most, whether it's on the high end or the low end. The teacher needs to be free to engage in the interpersonal reactions.
All right, that's James Lancaster. Kimberly McAdam, same question to you.
Sure. I think one piece of it, one piece is certainly motivating the teachers and making an environment where they want to be there and they're rewarded for when they do things well. I think that's a piece of it. I think we can also help them out in the classroom with more volunteers. I mean, I recognize that in our schools. And some teachers, sometimes it's a little hard for the teacher to find things for volunteers to do, but there's a lot of people in our community who are willing and able to help out in the classrooms and at the school, so that's certainly a way. And then the other thing I would always look at is kind of the data and the results of where classrooms are doing well, where we're doing well, so we can help prioritize where we are going to put our resources. I think that's a piece of doing more with what we have, and so looking at some of that information and making decisions on where we need to focus the limited resources that we do have.
It's Kimberly McAdams, the candidate for one of the two candidates for Place 6 on the College Station ISD Board of Trustees. Moving now to the Bryan candidates, wanted to be sure we talked about this with the two of you. Obviously, hiring a new superintendent, that's the big story right now for the Bryan School District. The finalist is coming from a much, much smaller school district, four campuses as opposed to almost 20. The number of students in terms of population is almost the equivalent of the town that he is coming from. What skill set is most important for him to bring, and what are the biggest challenges he is facing? And Mr. Flores, your first answer.
Well, I'm not going to be able to vote on that. He's going to be in place by the time I get in there. But his challenges will be right now, for example, in Hammond Oliver and Inquirer program, we have teachers that are teaching 8 to 12 kids in the classroom, which is great. Only problem is, in the rest of the district, we have other teachers that have to make up the difference. So they may have 35 to 40 kids in their class. If we understand that smaller class sizes work, maybe we should put into place a 3 to 5 to 7 year plan for him to get to that. It's going to depend on the school board. Now, especially him coming from a smaller district, you know, we're the ones that know this district are the parents and the teachers out there, and those are the ones we need to be listening to.
All right, Mr. Stastny, same question to you. The biggest, what skill set is most important for the new superintendent to bring in? What are the biggest challenges he's facing?
Well, he certainly has to be able to unite the community. We have a very diverse community, and that's going to be, I think, a real challenge. And I hope that he's not hired yet. He's the finalist. But if he is, if Dr. Wallace is the finalist or is actually hired, then he will be certainly the one who will be in charge of doing that. As far as challenges go, I think that he has to come in and certainly not try to immediately assert his own style too quickly, because he's got a lot to learn. He's going to come into a much more complex district with a lot more programs, and he needs to be able to evaluate those programs very carefully and determine what's working and what's not. Certainly, there's always room for improvement, and he's going to have plenty of time to do that, because we just don't want to upset the apple cart immediately when there's a big learning curve.
David Stastny. Sadly, we're out of time for questions. We're going to have to move on to closing statements, and we'll give each of you 1 minute for your closing statements. We do need to move on to the city council portion of our candidates forum tonight. Richard Howe, you will give your closing statement first, and each of you will have 60 seconds.
Again, I want to thank the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce for putting together a forum for a little bit of discussion and introduction. I welcome the opportunity to speak in front of all of you tonight and formulate some thoughts. I look forward to being able to listen to the issues ahead and evaluate what needs may be addressed for the board, and then also to continue being involved in what seems to be a very successful school district. Thank you.
The closing statements of Richard Howe. We're going to keep it by place, particular races, so that's how we'll divide it at this time. Valerie Yocan, we'll give you 1 minute for your closing statement.
All right, thank you. During the last 3 years, I've worked with my fellow board members to ensure that we're going in the right direction with a common vision. And there's obviously going to be challenges as we go forward. The budget, as we've discussed here this evening, is going to be a big one. But getting the community involved and having that communication with the community is also very important. And what I'd like is an opportunity to continue that, to work with the community, to help us get through this difficult time, because I'm confident that the school board, working with the administration, that we can continue to positively impact the lives of all of the children within the school district to make sure that they're all ready to go on to the workforce or to the university or to the military, whatever they choose to do after they graduate. Thank you.
The closing statements of Valerie Yocan. We move on to the Place 6 candidates, College Station ISD Board of Trustees. 60 seconds for James Lancaster.
3.5 years ago, I made a promise to come launch the Research Valley Innovation Center and create jobs. I've delivered on that. I made the promise to my family to raise them in a good city with a good quality of life. I've delivered on that. This is a great city. 2009, I made the commitment to launch EchoLice and create jobs. I've created 11 jobs and $1 million in revenue in 18 months, and we're growing from there. I made the commitment at the same time to raise funds for angel investment for technology spinouts out of A&M. We've raised $1 million in funds. We've invested $300,000 in local companies. I made a commitment last August to bring Lemonade Day to town. I was told we can't do something like that in a recession. We had a budget of $25,000 as a minimum. We've raised $35,000 in a recession. We, as of today, we have 1,100 kids around Bryan College Station signed up in 3 weeks. I'm incredibly proud of what I've done in 3.5 years bringing to the community. What I'm offering right now is to bring what I do, and that's what I do, to the community and the kids.
The closing comments of James Lancaster. Now 60 seconds, and the closing comments of Kimberly McAdams.
thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. Obviously, you're here because you care about education and care about our community as well. I really do believe we have great schools here. I mean, I support our school board, our administration, and all our great teachers. And I just want to do my part to keep them great. And actually, I really believe that we can have world-class schools in College Station. We have nothing really that can hold us back except for maybe the budget situation right now. So it is going to take some hard work and some dedication to get through the next couple of years. But I think with, again, my background in efficiency and really looking at process improvement, along with my ability to really listen to the community, the kids, the parents, and the teachers to help really make the best decisions for our school district, for every kid in our school district, to make sure that they have the opportunity for a great education. Thank you.
The closing statements of Kimberly McAdams. We move now to the at-large candidates for the Bryan ISD Board of Trustees. And David Stastny, I believe it's your turn, so you will close first.
I've been doing this for a very long time, 21 years, and some people ask why. Some of my friends and family have questioned my sanity. But the simple matter is that I love Bryan schools. I'm in awe of the public school system, and I just think it's just the most wonderful opportunity for us to be a great country. We do have a great school system, and I do disagree with Mr. Flores that it seems to imply that it's broken or something. But we of course stub our toe. We get greater challenges every year, broken families, single parent families, and it's just tougher and tougher with all the things going on in the world, but we're really working hard. I've got a great deal of information and a great deal of experience. Some people equate that with being stuck in the mud and not having new ideas. Well, I challenge anybody to have more ideas than I do about how to fix schools, and I keep trying to incorporate those ideas every chance I get. I'd like to continue my experience, using my experience to make Bryan schools even better.
The closing statements of David Stastny. Now the closing statements of Roy Flores. 60 seconds, Mr. Flores.
I'd like to thank the chamber tonight and thank everybody here. I do believe in term limits. And I would like to say that this is, we need to stop making excuses. This is a great community. I love this community. I was born and raised here, and I'm raising my children here. And I'm not the type of person to cry about spilt milk. I'm the type of person that's going to roll up his sleeves and say, hey, let's clean this up. And that's what we need to do right now. But we can't do it inside this bubble of just listening to people from certain sections of our community. We need to listen to all of our community members because y'all are the ones that have the great ideas, not just us. Thank you very much.
The closing statements of Roy Flores. To the six candidates on the dais, we appreciate your time this evening and your willingness to serve your communities. You're listening to the Bryan College Station Candidates Forum. The first half is now behind us. You've heard from the school board candidates. This is all brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce and News Talk 1620, WTAW, also streamed live at WTAW.com and KBTX.com. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we will have the candidates from the contested races, places 1, 3, and 5 for the College Station City Council. You're listening to News Talk 1620, WTAW, College Station, Bryan.